Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Peggy in Paradise podcast number 231 on January 3rd, 2019. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. And another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider. And for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's R-Y-D-E-R. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you and your partner, I do offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Woohoo! So let's do the patron update, shall we?
Yes.
I have a one-time donation that I forgot to mention. $12 came from Sasha. Sasha, thank you so much for helping out with the Movember contributions. I really appreciate it. And what else do I have happening? I have a new patron. Somebody with the initials MN is now a patron for $20 a month. And the name is distinctive, so we're just going to go with the initials, MN. Thank you so much for your generous patronage of $20 a month. I really appreciate the support, and I hope you enjoy all of those goodies that you're going to get in the weekly email. Thanks again. So now we're going to have some fun, because I got a letter from a longtime listener who thought up some new words for the 12 days of Christmas. Now, please give me a break here and bear with me because I found a karaoke version of it. I wasn't able to use my really nice mic, so the desk mic is what I used to record it because I had to have the karaoke music playing. But I did sing the verse for you. I swear to God, it's hysterical. And this is from Brian. And Brian, thank you so much for your creativity. I had a lot of fun with this. And even though it's past Christmas now, I hope you all will enjoy it. On the 12th day of Pegmas, my true love gave to me 12 asses busting, 11 dildos thrusting, 10 paddles spanking, 9 lords a-thanking, 8 doms a-fisting, 7 prostates milking, 6 slaves a-begging, 5 cock rings, 4 collared subs, 3 French maids, 2 swollen balls, and a happy and willing Peggy. Well, that was fun. Let's jump into more letters here. I heard back from the guy that I kind of gave a hard time about him calling people queens, censorship queens. Hi, Ruby. Sorry about the censorship queens remark. Over in the UK, it isn't a major thing. The remark over here might mean very fussy. It isn't gender related, but I should have considered your listeners. As you know from my previous emails, I'm a bit of a troubled soul who has been working through life trying to find harmony. Part of my harmony has been pegging. Pegging celebration time was 12 years ago. There is a couple of things I'd like you to consider taking up on behalf of mankind. Number 1, circumcision. Look into the incidence of irreversible damage caused by this mutilation. The big money earned by this needless operation is so clouding the issue. Ask yourself, should a religious operation backed by no legitimate evidence be allowed in any civilized society? Reference to remarks in podcast maybe 179. The other thing is trying to persuade mainly women to take up pegging when there are deep reasons why they don't wish to. I believe that if these women don't wish to, and there are traumatic reasons why the whole idea of sex in any form is an enormous burden to them, I would advise their partners to move on. Maybe these women really don't need sex in their lives. I find that hard to believe because I find the sexual act in all its forms such a wonderful thing. And I am lucky to have found an amazing person to have shared my life with, but maybe they should be left in peace. I really do respect your opinion on this. I do believe women are sometimes inadvertently bullied into indulging in stuff that they either don't feel ready for or don't require in their lives. Please take these questions and thoughts as if we were sitting in a pub with an open fire as friends just chewing the cud. May I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And this is from Dee. Dee, thank you so much for writing back and explaining, because I didn't realize that the use of the word queen was less gendered over in the UK. There are absolutely some subtle differences and sometimes some really big differences in the way that we use language. So thank you for explaining that. Now, let's dive into your subjects here. Circumcision. I have long been an opponent of circumcision, but I haven't been a very vocal one. And here's an interesting note. When I was growing up, I am serious, you guys, when I was growing up, and that was a long time ago, okay? My mom was anti-circumcision. Holy crap. Do you know how long ago that was? 50 years ago, and she was anti-circumcision. My mother was quite the forward-looking woman. She was amazing. So yes, I am 100% behind anti-circumcision. I just haven't done a whole lot of activism around it. So I would encourage every single one of you out there listening to do your research. If you are planning to have children and know what you want before that child is born, the medical professionals can pressure you into doing something that if you researched it ahead of time, you may not decide. So that should be a part of your conversation with your partner if you're planning on having children or adopting children and doing an adoption that you get the baby as soon as the baby's born. Do your research beforehand, talk about it beforehand, and come to a decision beforehand. This is a hugely unnecessary surgery that is being done simply for the sake of what? Looking the same as other boys or looking the same as your parent? Ugh, it's ludicrous and it's awful. And yes, like any surgery, there are horrible things that can happen. Like you mentioned, incidents of irreversible damage caused by, and I commend you on your use of this word, this mutilation, because that's what it really is. So just in case there were any doubts, I am totally anti-circumcision. And sadly, I have not run across that many men who are uncircumcised. So I still feel a little bit excited when I find a guy who is. And also I feel a little bit unpracticed. But it's exciting because that way I get to play with it and ask him how to play with it. So yes, anti-circumcision, everybody. Dee, thank you so much for bringing that up. In the Linkorama for you, I'm going to put a link to this website, doctorsopposingcircumcision.org. Here's just a bit from their front page. Doctors Opposing Circumcision is dedicated to ending routine, non-therapeutic circumcision, the genital cutting of infants. Babies are born with perfectly designed genitalia, and no one has the right to inflict this unnecessary procedure on them as they grow, for any reason. Did you know, aside from the United States, no other country in the world routinely circumcises its baby boys for non-religious reasons? Did you know the foreskin is perfectly normal, healthy tissue that plays an important role in sexuality? Did you know circumcision has no justifiable benefits and is in fact harmful, from pain and suffering to surgical botches to reduced maternal child bonding? And did you know medical authorities throughout the world consider circumcision medically unnecessary and unethical? Yeah, so go take a look at that website. Now, as to your other issue, it was kind of interesting that you mentioned this. I always try so hard to hold space for everybody. Most of the time, I am talking with men who are trying to talk to their partners and get them to do pegging with them. So that has been what I lean into mostly, but I never ever meant to lean into it to the extent of trying to get women to do something that they don't want to do. And I think what's happened is I just haven't repeated that enough. At the end of every one of those letters and pieces of advice that I offer out there for whatever help it may be to who wrote in, should be the, and remember, you might have a partner who will never want to do this, and that has to be okay with you, or you have to decide whether it's okay with you or not. One really good point that I appreciate that you brought up is women being bullied into things. Bullied is a strong word, even though sometimes I'm sure that that's what happens. But combine with that the societal thing of women being encouraged to keep men happy, keep their partners happy, be agreeable, just so you're taking care of the feelings of the other person. Now, there's a fine line to walk here because I would hope that no one would ever say yes to something that they truly don't want to do. Owning that as a cisgendered female is a harder thing to do because of what society puts on you, okay? Men are encouraged to get out there in general, and I'm speaking stereotypes and generalities, of course, but in general, men are encouraged to get out there, fight for what they want, say no to things they don't want. Women are not given that same sort of encouragement, and those expectations are very different. Women are expected to be more flexible, more willing, more compliant. If they're not, then they get labeled bitch, hard ass, moody, shit like that, right? So, given those in general things that society does to the gender binary, yes, I think women do say yes sometimes when they really would rather be saying no. But there is a fine line there. I think what I would encourage is that everyone, and especially women, make sure you are in the territory between benign and hell yes, somewhere in there. Because in a relationship, there is compromise. So perhaps your partner wants something from you that you don't have any bad feelings about, but like you mentioned, Dee, in your letter, you don't require it. Well, even if you don't require it, if it's something that your partner's going to love and make them really, really happy, perhaps it's a cool thing to do for your partner, especially if you like to see your partner receiving pleasure, if you like to give them pleasure. So there's that. Now, are there people out there who definitely don't need sex? Absolutely, there are asexual people out there. There's a whole group of them. There are resources online. It's an okay thing to be. It's totally 100% fine. So if you're asexual, doing pegging for your partner is perhaps a little more questionable, especially if you have any adverse reaction to it. This is why I emphasize benign. It has to be on the benign space or leaning into the it's okay and I kind of enjoy it space. Otherwise, if you have reactions of, I don't know, disgust is a really strong word, but I've heard that word used before for pegging. If you have reactions like that, or even a dislike, even a, well, okay, I suppose I'll do that, that brings totally the wrong energy to two people getting together and exploring erotic things together. That's not what you want. So moving on from that point to your point of women with trauma. Now, I would never, ever, ever advise women with trauma to push past anything that feels triggering and do anything sexually, because that's totally not okay and it's not good. So partners out there of women who have had any kind of trauma, and this goes both ways, both genders, it's just that Dee wrote the letter in this gender direction, please keep that in mind. Please always, always hold that tender space, the tender, respectful, ultra-careful space with your partner around any trauma that you know that they might have, because it's critical that that part of them is held carefully and loved and allowed to be there, not judged and not trespassed upon. So yes, I would never ever encourage anybody to push someone who has had trauma. I think in the last podcast, when I was speaking to the one guy who has that unusual relationship where they don't have PIV, I mentioned many times, make sure it's okay with her and it doesn't trigger her, because that's the place that you have to start. When you have a partner who has had trauma, that's the place that you should always start, is to make sure that whatever you want to explore is something that doesn't trigger them from the trauma, okay? I really appreciate your emphasis on all of this, though, because I do think that I have been leaning so heavy into trying to find you guys a way that your partners will do these things with you, that I have not been leaning equally as hard in the direction of that final line that I should have for every single piece of advice, which is, your partner may never want to do this, and you have to respect that. There are other things that you can choose to do on your own. You can do self-play. There are other options, and we've been over those a bunch of times. But the point is, don't bully them into it. Don't make them do it. Don't get petulant and resentful when they don't do it. Everybody gets to choose here, okay? And you can try your best, and then you just have to let it go. So yes, Dee, thank you for the reminder. I will tag that on to my advice giving. And thanks for writing back in. This next one is from someone on Reddit. Hello, recently I had consulted Reddit on how my husband wanted to start pegging, and you responded to me explaining your podcast number 112. And may I say that I needed that in my life. You helped me work out every mental issue I had with the kink. I finished the podcast shortly after dinner, but it was the last few minutes when you explained that we don't have to do anal as a reciprocal act. That put my entire mind at ease, so much so that my husband and I shared a moment last night that I hope to repeat in times to come. So on that note, thank you so very much for what you're doing for the women who were just walking into the idea. On the second note, I started off small with a plug and he adored it. My one downfall was that I wasn't using a vibe on myself and felt a little left out. So there is an opportunity there. I was looking through your podcast and wondering if you could direct me to an equipment discussion. I'm not sure I'm ready to go harness yet, but I'd love some advice in that field. Again, thank you so much, Ruby. I don't think I could have done it without you. I don't talk sex with the few women I'm friends with, so you were that helping hand. Oh, I'm so glad that podcast number 112 helped. That helps a lot of people. And what this person who wrote me and thanked me, what she is mentioning, is that the last few minutes of that podcast number 112, one of the things that I emphasize is, you know, there are absolutely women out there who never, ever, ever want their asses played with, but they would be willing to do the pegging. It does not have to be a reciprocal act. It's not like, hey, if I fuck you in the ass, then you get to fuck me in the ass. No, 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 no. You get to choose. Everybody gets to choose. So let's see, you would like a podcast that's an equipment discussion. Absolutely, you can go to podcast number 102. There are so many decisions to make when you're thinking about buying equipment. So listen to podcast number 102, and then I'd be happy to direct you to the toys that fit what you need. The other thing that you can do is to take one of my webinars. I hold them regularly. The next one is January 6th, and then there's another one on the 26th. And I do talk a lot, not only about how to do pegging, misconceptions, you know, some of the same stuff that's in podcast number 112, but I also talk a lot about equipment. I show you the best of the best, all kinds of fun things to play with, solo play, couples play. So that might give you some ideas as well. And with any luck, you and your husband will be sharing many more moments, and I'll be able to play the music for you soon. Thank you for writing. And my next letter here. This one is titled Dildos. Just wondering what dildos people find easy to use on their partners and are comfortable for their partners to use on them. I don't want to use the dildo in a harness, so if you could let me know your experiences guiding them by hand, that would be great. Just a couple I'm considering getting are the Fun Factory Magnum or Bandito, the Tanta Silk Large, and the Sin 5 Bergono. I have to look that one up. Okay, so I looked up the Sin 5, and this is a company in Germany. I found a review that Dangerous Lily did on this toy, and she said that although it's not 100% silicone, it's made out of WTP. Now, I'm not sure what WTP stands for. However, I swear to God, I'll trust anything that Dangerous Lily says. And what she says about WTP is that it's non-porous and has antibacterial properties, no smell and no taste. So I would trust that because, like I say, you know, Dangerous Lily is like the queen of figuring out whether things are toxic and safe. In fact, I will put a link in the Linkorama to her page, which is all about sex toy cleaning and material information guides, so you can check it out for yourself. Anyway, it is a vibrator, and it is also a suction cup, and this is really rare to find this. So the Bandido, it's hard to keep up with all of the new dildos in the toys. It's so fun. The reason I got excited was because it's kind of a beginner size. It's just 1.27 inches in diameter, which is a lovely beginner size. Usually I recommend 1.25 and, you know, same, just about. And it's beautiful and it's curved really nicely for that G-spot stimulation. So I'm excited about that one. It's got an insertable length of 5.8 inches. It looks like the Sin 5 toy is 1.5 at the widest, but you don't really get to that until you're a ways further down the toy, and the slimmest points aren't even an inch wide. And so the Magnum, the insertable portion of the Magnum, is approximately 6¾ inches to 7 inches long. It does have a larger head, and so the head is nearly 1.6 inches in diameter, and then the shaft is 1.5. So those are all the measurements to take into consideration as you're thinking about what to get to hold by hand. What I'm going to throw in there as well is the collection of longer handled dildos. Those are versatile for different positions. Because you have the length and it's handled, you can do reach arounds, like let's say you're doing PIV sex with your partner and she can do a reach around with a handled dildo really easily. So I'm going to put a link to the two handled ones, which are approximately the same size. They both have diameters of 1.5 inches, and because they're so long with the handle, they do have actually quite a wide range of insertable length. You can put that thing in quite a ways. So the two that have that 1.5 inch diameter are the Goddess and the Echo. The Goddess is a little more smooth. The Echo has distinct ridges, you know, thus the name Echo. So you can take a look at those and see if that's something that appeals, because that is a very easy thing to use. And it's not only an easy thing to use like for reach around, it's a cool thing to use just if you have your partner laying face down on the bed over a pillow, like over the Liberator ramp or something like that. It's a cool toy to play with. And it's really, really good for self-play. Thank you for letting me know about not only the Bandido, but the Sin 5 company, because I didn't even know about them, and that's pretty cool. As I was editing this and working out links and all that kind of stuff, I did notice that the Sin 5 dildo seems to be discontinued pretty much everywhere. I think they used to sell exclusively through Eden Fantasies, but they don't carry them there anymore, and I couldn't find any live links to purchase it, so I'm not sure where you were looking at it, but it may no longer be available. And there we go. So good luck, and let us know what you get. So this next letter is titled, How to Tell Your Wife That You Want to Try Pegging. Hello, Ruby. I'm a 43-year-old male. I've explored myself anally since I was about 13 years old. I love the sensations. I love how it feels. I'm trying to find a way to have my wife try pegging. We've tried some anal play before. She knows that I do like it. But when the subject of a strap-on dildo and her having sex with me that way comes up, she kind of shrugs it off and gets a bit standoffish. She knows I like having my ass played with, and it seems to turn her on too. I would also like to add that I have been an in-the-closet cross-dresser since I was 13 years old as well. My wife does know of some of my feminine traits, but she does not know that I like to dress up as a woman. Okay, 43-year-old male. Let's see here. You don't say how long you've been with your wife, but it sounds like you've been with her for some time. So here's the first thing. Let's just talk about the pegging first. There are all kinds of misconceptions and assumptions that come with men receiving anal play. And if you've listened to any of my podcasts before, you have likely heard me talk about podcast number 112. This is something that would be great for your wife to listen to. I don't know if she has any misconceptions or assumptions that are causing her to have this reaction where she gets standoffish and just shrugs it off, or whether she just doesn't really want to do any more of it, which is totally valid as well. If she does have misconceptions and assumptions that are not correct, then podcast number 112 will help her with those and will give her accurate information so that then she can decide if she wants to pursue pegging with you. It will also help her to understand why you really want to explore it and how important it is to you and how difficult it is to ask for. So podcast number 112 would be the first thing on the menu. However, before you start there, one of the things I need to emphasize that I do with every single person who writes in wanting to explore pegging with their partner is make sure you're the best husband you can possibly be to your wife. Make sure that you are trying your very best to keep this partner of yours as happy as possible. And make sure that you two have decent communication around sex. The situation you're describing is that she shrugs it off and she gets standoffish and that you don't pursue it. Now, I can appreciate the balance of not wanting to be pushy or anything like that, but at the same time, you guys need to have good enough communication where you can talk about things in moments like this, where you can pull that string and say, okay, can we sit down and talk about this a little bit, please? So you have a choice, because you can either present it like you found something on the internet that's really cool and you want to explore that with her and that you've done some self-exploration but not let her know the true extent of it, or you can just be totally straight up and say, you know, this is something I've enjoyed my whole life. I love you so much that I want you to know me. I really want you to know who I am and what I enjoy. And it would be awesome if we could enjoy this together. And how about you listen to podcast number 112? That's the way that is the most honest, the most authentic, even though it probably sounds really scary. The way where you kind of go, hey, I found this thing on the internet, makes it sound like you have not been enjoying this your whole life, basically. So there's that. You get to decide which one to do there. But good communication, be the best husband you can be, listen to podcast number 112. Now about the cross-dressing. But at some point in time, it would be awesome if you could come out to your wife about enjoying this. There are so many men out there who really, really enjoy cross-dressing. And it has no reflection whatsoever on still being a good provider, still being strong, still being manly even. There's so much that society puts on men to never, ever, ever enjoy anything feminine, implying that it's less than. Men are never supposed to be feminine in any way, and men are never supposed to be homosexual in any way. And these are old, antiquated viewpoints, but they're hanging on quite stubbornly. And it makes it really, really hard. I know cross-dressers in my life, and I know how painful it is to have this thing that you really love that you cannot share with anyone, and how much shame there is wrapped up in it. There have been people I have communicated with, there have been people on my chat channel who have come out to their partners as enjoying wearing lovely lingerie, lovely silky panties, awesome things. And it's ended up being okay. I don't know if it would end up being okay with your wife, but I crave for you the ability to be authentic with her and to let her know that this is something you take a lot of enjoyment in. And how wonderful would it be if you could enjoy that with her? Now, one of your opportunities will come when you listen to podcast number 112. See, one of the things in podcast number 112 that I go through over and over again is the misconceptions that people have. And one of the misconceptions comes from pegging porn. It always portrays a very similar scene. And one of the aspects of that scene is that the men are feminized. They're dressed up as women. So one of the things I say on podcast number 112 is, does your partner want to dress up like a woman? I don't know. You'll have to ask them. So listen to this podcast before you listen to it with her, okay? Because you have to know what you're getting into, and you kind of have to have your answers planned. That might be an interesting moment if she stopped the podcast or after the podcast was done and said, okay, so let's talk about all these other things that sometimes people think go along with pegging. Do you want me to tie you up? Do you want me to beat you? Do you want me to verbally humiliate you or degrade you? Do you want to dress up like a woman? And you have to figure out what you're going to say if she asks you that question. Ideally, it would be awesome if you could be authentic and be honest, even though I bet that scares the hell out of you. Ooh, that's such a scary thing to do. However, how wonderful could it be if you didn't have to hide that anymore? I've gotten letters from guys who, once they work through it with their partners, tell me stories of their partners taking them to lingerie stores and buying them panties. It, you know, it can be amazing. And I don't know if it can be amazing with your partner or how she will react to it. But I do know that being authentic is always preferable to having a part of yourself that you wall off from your partner and that you lie about, basically. But you need to decide what feels best for you, because only you know your partner well enough to decide how much she can handle at the same time. But know that that question is in there on podcast number 112. It's not a guaranteed thing that all of a sudden your partner will go, awesome, now let's do pegging, I'm good. But at the same time, it will help her to understand that part of you and know that that is a part of you. So basically what you're allowing her to do is to know you on a deeper level, which is really a gift. So check out 112, see what you think, let us know how it goes, and if you end up pegging, let me know, because I play celebratory music for people when they do their pegging the first time. Good luck to you, sir. Thanks for writing in. This is a short one, but it was way, way cool. Hello, Ruby. Just found your amazing website. Thank you. I'm a guy in his 50s who was pegged in the past and found it intensely pleasurable, both physically and psychologically. Also, it is nice for a change for someone else to do the, quote, huffing and puffing, end quote. And he signs it, a fan. That's awesome. The huffing and puffing. Oh, sir, boy, do I know what you mean. Fucking someone can be, and often is, an athletic event, everybody. You've all heard me say that before. So I just wanted to read that. Thank you for writing in with that short message for me. That was delightful. So when trying to post this finished podcast, I discovered that I had exceeded the limits, so I had to split it up to two parts. This is the end of part one, and now enjoy part two.